5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on.
The all-new Panic Room radio show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, good evening, one and all. It is the new Panic Room episode 252 on the 28th of October 2021, which it's almost Halloween. Woo, spooky, spooky ghosts and zombies and shit. Anyway, so, yeah, here we are again. I know Xtina's loves Halloween. She's posting pictures of the house with her Halloween decoration. Sort of, on my birthday, which was September. So, a little bit sad, really, between you and me, but I shall deny saying that. But I'm going to bring her on so we can taunt her a little bit.
Well,
yeehana, yippity-doo, Xtina, how are you?
Oh, it's been a long day. I'm good. I have
it
no
has.
Real complaints. It's
so
gorgeous.
So our listener doesn't think I was making it up. You did have your Halloween stuff up in September, didn't you? You did.
I did. But wait.
It's that individual.
Story. Yeah. Okay. Now, last year, you know, the first COVID year, the rules did not matter at all. So I think, you know, our whole street had them up in September. This year, not quite as bad, but I couldn't wait. Like, I was so excited. I couldn't wait. And I think I'm waiting until, like, the middle of September, maybe. Maybe not. So I don't know. But they've been up for a while. But I keep adding. So it's like they're different every time you see them. So that's, you know, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, fall has totally fallen around here. We did lunch earlier today at lunchtime. And coming home.
When else?
It was just gorgeous. There was leaves all over. They were falling. They were crunching. And I'm just like, this is, it's beautiful. It feels like there's like magic in the air or something. And it's totally cool. And I love this time. Even though it's getting chilly. Yesterday, I think it was yesterday morning, maybe the day before that, it was in the 30s. And I got a really cool picture.
What's that in real money? What, actual 30s? What, Fahrenheit?
Yeah, Fahrenheit.
No, because that's freezing. Oh, that's freezing. It's 32
yeah.
freezing, isn't it? Oh, really?
Yeah,
that cold?
It was cold.
Wow.
Yeah,
sorry,
yeah,
it was down to like 78 here, and I was feeling a bit nippy. But maybe I should put my cardigan on.
I posted a picture of a frozen spider web in the backyard.
I saw that, yes.
Yeah, that's how cold it was. It froze a spider web. I wanted to come out with the blow dryer and you know, to thaw him, but I
know. To thaw it out to help the spider, yeah, to help the spider out. That was really sweet.
Yeah.
That's really sweet.
I didn't, because I didn't care that much, but it did cross my mind. I did feel bad for him, you know. He's
to be fair, he'd probably frozen to death anyway, so, you know, you'd have been wasting your time, to tell you the truth.
But it
has been a week. It's been a busy, busy, busy week. I mean, today has just been, you know, it's been, I'll tell you the truth, you know, it's just a bunch of idiots draining my time. Absolute, complete and utter fuckwits who really should have no place in my life because they're just so far beneath me. Who think they know better, think they can manage my time, and they're just lazy and useless. So there's that, you know, and you know me, you work with me for, 6 years now, Christina, we worked together incredibly well. The fact that we've worked together for so long is some kind of record for me, to tell you the truth. But you know I do not suffer fools gladly. You know, I think people one of the big things that really irritates me is people who like to portray that they know more than you, and they don't. They try to be, because they're in a little bit of a position of, you know, of power, I guess. I.e., you know, I rely on them, you know, for business and for money, you know, you know, for the business, for, you know, just what we do. But, you know, and it just, that really aggravates me. You know, they think they know better, and they don't.
Yeah, you know, just let
and
them
an,
go.
I'm surprised I've still got my tongue left, because I keep having to bite it. I physically had to get up and walk away from my computer for half an hour the other day just to go be in another room and just chill out, because I'm going to say something I'm going to fucking regret, seriously.
Yeah,
and I had to do that, and it's, you know, I shouldn't have to do that.
That's why we get along so well. I never pretend I know more than I do, because, I just don't. And
there have been times you've pulled me up on a few things, and it's
I'm not going to name names, but this guy, you know, twice in the past couple of days, I've just caught him out. I'm just either he got something wrong or made a mistake. And instead, whereas at me, I go, oh, yeah, well, you know, mea culpa, my mistake. Yeah, and I will admit my mistake. I will with my kids. I do with you. I do with, you know, if I fucked up, I will say, whoop, I fucked up. Right. How are we going to fix
right.
it? But this guy will not accept. He comes up with some lame. He asked me to look for, I said, where's this book that was published, this client's book? You know, and I said, what was the title? Give him the title. Oh, it's not on Amazon. So literally it took me a tenth of a second. I put it into, I put it in my phone, pop, there it is. And then he said, oh, it's the name of the book. That made a difference. And of course, me being me, just plugged in the title without the name, and it popped up again. And I was so close to saying, look, fuckwit. You know, look, asswipe. It still pops up. Just admit you didn't do it right. It's just literally a couple of times this past couple of days, and it's just like, oh, it's so hard. You know me. I to keep my mouth shut, you know, I just have to think of the money, you know, so it's the old thing again, but back to my sales days, you know, it's ingrained in this, you know, rule number one, the customer is always right. Rule number two, you know, if the customer is wrong, reread rule number one.
Yes.
You know, so, and I do stand by
so
that.
Hard.
It is so hard sometimes, it really is.
Yeah. I think it's even worse because, these days people don't act like that. I mean, in normal business, I don't think people act the way that they used to. And so it does make it harder on the ones of us who, you know, do kind of stand by that. And even though we know the customer's not always right, it's just good customer service. It just really is. And I don't know if this younger generation kind of gets that. And I don't think they really care as much. So it's kind of sad.
No, the younger generation, they're just entitled. That's their attitude. They're entitled.
Yeah.
I really don't like the entitled attitude. That's one thing. I will not allow my kids to be entitled. It's funny because, I mean, my daughter, I mean, she accepts. She says she knows she's spoiled. But she doesn't take it for granted. And she doesn't take the piss. And she is grateful that she's spoiled. Because she knows, she said, I know that the minute I take it for granted, or the minute, you know, it's gone. And she knows that, you know, but because she's grateful, and she's not one of these kids if I ask her to do so. You know, I say, back to wife swap, my go-to chill-out show. You know, you see some of the kids, if that kid was mine, he would be under the patio, definitely under the patio by now. Because asking him to do something, it's, seriously, I ask my kids if they'll do something, and they either do it straight away, or they say, yeah, let me just finish this. Like with my son, you know, if he's in the middle of a game, you know, he can't just leave the game because he's obviously plays live, you know. So fine, you know, I'll be down in 10, I'll finish this game. Not a problem. Fine. I don't get the moaning, the groaning, the excuses, the procrastination. They will do it. You know, I ask Indy's puppies are the crapped on the floor because puppies do. So, okay, go clean up the dog shit because I've been doing it all day. And she did. She got in there and cleaned up the poo and da da da. And but they are and the puppies, the progress, they are huge now. They are now somewhere July, August, September, October. Yeah, 4 months old, and they're almost as tall as their mother now.
Wow. Wow.
I mean,
How many are there now? How many do you have still?
We decided to keep two. The two black females. And they are gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. And yeah, I mean, we can tell them apart. There's very subtle differences, but they're so different personalities. One is very extrovert, very sort of like the dominant one. The other one is just really sweet, just see tootles along behind the other one. Or if you fuss in that one, the other one will come and muscle in. But no, they're great, and we're getting there with the house training. We're getting there a bit at a time, but it just but they really are. And the funny thing is that they're I was, you know, because they they're in the sort of make the living room, what have you, and I'm working. Every now and then I pop out, just make, because when they go quiet, that's when you worry, you know. I popped my head and I saw one of them. I thought, shit, where's the other one? And I was hunting around for the other one. And the problem is they are that dark. They're that black, they're shiny, dark, real black. And when you don't, because they've got little white chests, when they're laying down, you don't see that. And she was literally next to the other one on the couch. We have a dark brown couch. The light was bad yesterday because of the storm. I just didn't see her. So she lifted her head up.
There you are.
So I'm gonna have to start painting them neon pink or something.
Yes, spray paint. You know, yeah, so. I think that'll work.
Then I'll be able to see them. But I need to post a couple of more up to date pictures because they've just grown quick.
Yeah, definitely.
You know,
definitely.
And the wonderful thing is, obviously, I mean, my daughter was saying, you know, this is, I mean, they're home bait. You know, we spawned them ourselves, and she delivered them, and so there's that sort of thing there. But yeah, they're great. So we now have 5 dogs, which is kind of stupid, I know, but
that's a lot of dogs. Yeah,
it's two more than we had 4 months ago. Yeah.
Whew. Yeah. No, I'll stick with our. We've got 3 freaking little ankle biters, and then the 2 snakes, and again, mm-hmm. he just still has not eaten for us. But you know, I'm not worrying. She still looks really healthy.
Don't worry. She'll be fine.
Yeah.
She'll be fine. And, I keep saying, you know, my ball python, I think the first winter I had it, and it was around this time of year, just stopped eating. It's like it didn't eat again from, I think, about October till about March. I tried every month. I tried him, and then bumps started. And it's the season because they know it's getting cooler, the day length is shortening, mm-hmm. and they can go into a sort of a semi hibernation mode. So we're going to have to do an entire show on snakes.
Yeah, our little guy, he is such a great eater. I'm telling you, Kirsten dropped the little rat, whatever you call him, off the tweezers or tongs yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just laying there, and so he reaches the tongs in, and he kind of nudges it, and Sal just scooped him up. I mean, he's like violent and fast, and he got it, and yeah, he's such a good eater. I'm like, I get so excited. I'm like the snake mommy, and I'm like, yay, he did it. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't even know how to explain it, but I love the fact that he's such a good eater. So, yeah, he's great. But I see these pictures from last year, and, you know, Misha went from just tiny little thing, and a year later, she's huge. She's like 3 feet
long. She really has.
She's
absolutely really shot up. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm like, do the boys do that too? I mean, like, is Sal going to do this? And, you know, in 6 months,
Well, Monty did. He was ickle when we got him, and then he seemed like almost overnight suddenly, because you measure it by because he started off just having little tiny mice, and now, I mean, he has medium-sized rats. And he suddenly, we're literally within, like I said, probably about that first year, they just absolutely grow. So, anywho, enough of that's enough from Snake Corner for this week. What have we got coming up on the show this evening, Xtina?
We are going to have a great show, a fun show too, because we've had these guys on before, and they're always a lot of fun. And we just thought it was time, you know, to talk to him again. But tonight, and you know what, I bumble this word every single time I say it, so I'm going to try to, you know, not say it too badly. But yeah, tonight we have Cerberus. Is that right?
I've been saying it wrong all these years, so that's probably closer than I got it.
I don't know why. I'm so bad at it. I love the a poet, a master of horror, and a master of suspense. So woo!
So are we in a mall together, or are we just gonna separate them?
Oh, we're going to have them all together and have, like,
So do the intro again. We can start with tidy up in post. You're all right. The intro again.
All right. So this week in the Panic Room, we have Cerberus, a poet, a master of horror, and a master of suspense. Woo!
Hello.
Hello.
And
hello.
Why can I not say that word right? Why I just can't say it right?
You know, you did say it right.
Yay!
Wow, there you go. Well done, Xena. Well, have a team point.
Cerberus. Not Cerberus, not Cerberus, it's Cerberus.
Cerberus, okay. I think you know what, by the time you come back on next time, I'll have it down pat. I will.
No, she won't.
Yeah,
she won't.
Not this time. You're just talking yourself out of it.
Okay. And I believe that's Chris. We have Chris Miller with us. I believe that was
that
your voice,
me.
Right,
I'm
Chris?
The loud one.
Yeah. And we also have Patrick C. Harrison III with us.
Here.
Right, hello. Right. Yeah.
Hello. So just say present when she calls your name.
And we also have M. Edenbach. Is it just M or do you want to, Mike? Is either one okay or?
Oh, I don't even care. I guess I'm Mike on Facebook now, so I might as well be.
There you go. So you got Mike Edenbach. Yay! So it's been since we had you guys back, had you guys here, but it seems like it's been a long time.
Probably about a year.
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
Really?
Wow. Well, as we said, time really has no real meaning these days, to be honest.
No, it doesn't.
It's just
still, right? We're still in that 2 weeks to flatten the curve. So, I mean,
yes. Yeah.
Almost there. It's almost flat.
What do you call it, James? These are the, the BC before. Yeah.
This is AAC. This is after Corona.
After,
but although, this is technically after times, and before was the before time. So, yeah.
it's definitely fun times, but it's true. I mean, things the weeks are getting by us. I can't believe that we're at the end of October. That is insane. And you know what the sadder part is about the whole getting, close to the end of October? I have not watched one scary movie yet. I mean, this is like the month you do that. So I don't know.
Blasphemer.
I know.
Dare you.
I know. And I really wanted to watch the new Halloween movie, but I've heard it's shit. So what
motherfucker, it's not shit.
Okay.
Why are you screaming?
No, it's not shit. People who say that are just not taking it for what it is.
Why? What is it?
It's 2 hours of bloodbath. That's what it is. It's Michael Myers. It's got great scores. Who the fuck cares what else happens?
Right. No, good point.
Know?
Good point. Absolutely.
I will
be, unlike Xena, I will be watching it because I just like, sometimes you're in that mood and a good old slasher is the only thing that'll scratch the itch, you know?
And this one scratches the shit out of it, man. I mean, he's never been
nice.
More brutal, and I would compare it to the Rob Zombie versions as far as brutality.
Oh, really?
But it's a much better told story, too. Fun factor, it's at least a 4. If we're being objective, it's a 2.5 movie. But, it's a middle movie. It's not supposed to be terrific. It's just supposed to be fun. And it was fun.
I love fun. Yeah, I have watched in the past couple of weeks, those shows that they do, the movies that made us or the know what I'm talking about.
I've been watching that. I love that. In fact, I'm actually halfway through the Halloween one as we speak.
Yes, I thought that was a great one. We watched that one and the Friday the 13th and the Nightmare on Elm Street.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
I think it's really.
I must admit, I think the narration is a bit childish. Like you're trying to be funny all the time. That nearly put me off. But that was sort of grated on me a little bit. But no, he's got seen the background. I mean, all of those movies were done on an absolute shoestring budget. I mean, and one thing I didn't really realize until they pointed it out on the show that the original Halloween movie, there was no blood. because they specifically said, we're not going to go for blood and gore. But it was still one of the most atmospherically terrifying movies, you know, and it spawned everything. Spawned absolutely, the whole slasher genre came from that.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. It's
even derivative of movies like Psycho and Black Christmas. If without those, you don't get Halloween.
I think
Halloween kind of stands alongside Psycho as a brilliant suspense movie, disguised as a horror movie. You know, because it's not about the blood and the guts. It's about getting your guts into a knot and cranking it tighter and tighter and tighter. And that's what makes it great to me.
I totally agree. Yes. Yeah.
I will go ahead and watch the new one now. The one right before this one, with Jamie Lee Curtis in it as well, I guess a couple of years ago, was it?
Yes, it was.
Okay. I know I saw it, but I do not remember any of it. So I'm thinking it didn't
watch
make a very good impression. Okay, really?
Watch it first and then immediately go into Halloween Kills. You'll have a better experience.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Okay. It was nice to see Jamie Lee Curtis back in the role, but it was good. Like you say, the other one was good. Again, compare it with I love the Rob Zombie remakes, but it was because it followed on straight after Halloween 2 from back in the day. And it was incredibly well done. Incredibly well done.
Yeah, it's probably my favorite horror movie franchise. So I have to. You know, I love the ones was like either 4 and 5 or 5 and 6 with the little, what was her name?
4 and 5. That's what's great about Halloween. It's a true multiverse.
Mm-hmm.
You get all these different timelines. You get to pick and choose between what you want. And they're all available. It's wonderful.
I love that little girl. Danielle Harris, that's her name.
Danielle Harris. She came back for the zombie flicks.
Yes. That was so cool. Yeah, I definitely want to watch all the Halloweens right now. And, there's not enough time. We should get talking about the book that you're here to talk to us about. And here we go. I'm going to butcher it again. Why don't you tell us about the book? You say it so I don't have to butcher it.
Mike or Patrick needs to talk. I've been talking too much.
Okay, what are we talking about? The book is Cerberus Exploitation. It's three novels / novellas that we each wrote. It's all based on exploitation cinema, grindhouse type stuff, but it's set in like a dystopian cyberpunk future. They're all kind of set in the same type setting. Chris's is more like an urban area. Mike's are both kind of out away from the urban area, but they're all set in this cyberpunk dystopian future, and the main focus of all of our stories is lots of blood, guts, breath, everything you'll see in, your typical grindhouse exploitation movie. And so we put them all together. We're going to have probably close to 500 pages of greatness here.
Wow.
So, that's what we got coming out next here in the next few weeks.
I have to admit, I was looking at the names of the stories and like the excerpts and the first one here, Vampire Nuns Behind Bars. Okay, now who doesn't want to read that? I mean, just
exactly.
Alone.
It's basically you have naked vampire nuns from basically page one to the last page. I mean, you have nudity and blood.
There has never been more nudity on film or page ever, ever. This is the most naked story I have ever read.
Naked. Yeah. I like that word.
Oh, yeah. N-E-K-K-I-D.
Yes.
Roger Corman, Women in Prison type films, where they're all just, they all go take showers together. For whatever reason, the camera goes with them. They're all wrestling around kid and all this nonsense. And that's kind of where I got my inspiration for that. So, it's breath throughout.
It's important to know exactly how a woman uses a soap bar between her ass cheeks. It just is. It's important to the story.
Right. Okay. Oh, you've got my interest now.
Yeah, he was dozing at first, but he heard, you know, soap and ass cheeks.
Exactly. I'm suddenly wide awake now.
and James, for Chris's story, the excerpt that he is going to read for us, it's titled Larry and the Lusty Lube Ladies. I mean, that's amazing.
What more could I ask for?
Oh, so much more. are we doing the readings now?
Yes.
Yeah.
That
okay,
one.
Okay.
Especially,
so yeah,
especially that
like
one.
Like in the first Cerberus book, you know, it was a little bit different format. We each chose a theme and wrote a story, a novelette based on that theme, and then each of us, when we came up with a theme, also wrote a poem. Well, in this one, we've got trailers, a la the Grindhouse movie by Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez. So anyway, I'm going to try to perform mine. I'm going to really sell this like it was, you know, 1979 at the drive-in, okay?
Nice. Go for
Larry
it.
Larry and the Lusty Lube Ladies. Larry's Quick Lube is on the brink of bankruptcy after a big box store moves in across the street, offering the same services at half the price. Desperate for a way to get his books back in the black and for vengeance against the scoff, this big box store's manager, Larry's luck changes when a trio of busty babes who know how to work a wrench show up and give the customers much more than they bargained for. A thirst for human blood. Why the fuck am I blurting this? Nicholas Sparks. The scoff scowls as he sees the little Larry lube business booming. Even some of his own employees are leaving to join Larry's lusty mistresses. But the whole town is becoming thirsty and fresh blood is coming up in short supply. Bullocks, homeless street Brit. Larry is realizing the staggering problem for his town, and against all odds, he and the scoff team up to battle the busty bordello of babes. Using Larry's keen lubricating skills and the scoff's epic frown, the duo take on a hot army of undead vamps in an epic showdown on the red-running streets of Wolf City. So much better than The Color Nine, and coming from me, that's saying something, Stephen King. When things aren't working, sometimes all you need is a little lube.
Oh, I love
it.
That is great. And you know what? I think that you definitely have to do the audiobook because that was great. You're laughing.
Oh,
you're laughing, but that was great.
maybe one day.
I love that. Yeah, when is this coming out again? Because I definitely need the signed copy.
As soon as we have a cover, we got a cover in the works. I think everything else is sort of in place.
Hopefully
awesome.
You didn't know we're looking at.
All right. And again, for anybody who does not know, that's XTINA. For the signed copy, come on, guys.
I thought it was XXXTNIA or TIN,
you know what,
whatever. Who knows?
You can spell it. You can spell it any way you want to spell it.
Tina.
Yeah, that's great. No, I really enjoyed that. And did Stephen King really say this is so much better than The Color Nine?
No, I made all that shit up. No, that's
oh,
all
man,
made up. It's like,
great.
Why the fuck am I blurbing this by Nicholas Sparks? Exactly. What the fuck are you doing blurbing this? You know, that's the kind of fun we're going for in this book.
Yes, you know, years ago, one of the romance authors who she's been on the show a couple times, she wrote a book, and for her promotion, she actually got a bunch of the other indie authors to pretty much say stuff like, I mean, one of them was just like, you know, Jamie McGuire endorses this book, and it just said, no. And like, all of it was, like, stuff like that. They're like, don't read this. Run the other direction. This is trash. I would use this as toilet paper. And she, I don't know how she did it, but the book was amazing. And I think that because, you know, all these people said, you know, the horrible things, that was, like, her promotion. And it worked. It really worked. So.
Yeah. Yeah. The worst things you can say about exploitation are going to make people that want to read exploitation go after it.
It's true.
So.
It's very true.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. No, I definitely cannot wait for that to come out. And so, really, I mean, you can put in, like voice that in, you know, upload it to the different social media sites, and people will listen to it. And then the, why are you laughing? That's not funny. I'm being serious. It's really good.
I'm sorry. It's funny to me. It's funny that anybody but me thinks it's funny. But
oh,
anyway.
No. No, it's great. And, and you said that's like 500 pages. Oh, my gosh. I wish that I wish I had enough attention span to sit down and read that much right now, but
30,000 words.
Well, you're getting three novels out of it.
Right.
That's
right.
The thing. It's not one story. It's three stories, and they exist in the same universe, but otherwise they're independent. So you can kind of dip in and out wherever.
Mm-hmm. Now, who came up with the idea? Who said, you know, this is what we're going to do?
This was all Mike. Go for it, Mike.
No, this was all you.
This was Patrick. Mike's was rising.
Yeah, but the world was his idea.
Well, the world we're working inside of is of Mike's making. That I will say.
Yeah. It was my idea through exploitation, and that was solely off because I had this name idea in my head of Vampire Nuns Behind Bars. I wanted to write that book, even though I had no idea where it was going to go. And Mike had this separate idea of a dystopian future, a cyberpunk future, and we kind of combined my idea with his, but really his kind of took hold because all our stories revolve around this dystopian future and all the, you know, the advanced technology and stuff like that. So
it sounds like you guys are a pretty good team. You work well together?
No, not at all. No, we hate each other when we're writing. When we're writing a book, no, we never bitch at each other more. But when we're working on our individual stuff, we are the best of friends.
Yeah. I love to see the pictures when you guys all get together.
I'm joking.
Well, you know, I was going to say, James was talking about these people that act like they know everything when they really don't know shit. That's pretty much Chris Miller, like, all the time.
I don't know shit about shit, dude, and I say that all the time.
You guys are laughing. Those two fought for, like, 3 hours tonight about politics.
Oh my God. Yeah, Mike went and got popcorn and just ghosted us while we argued. It was great.
You argue about politics? Next time, please invite me. I would just love to sit in on that.
No. We only argue politics privately, so we're not going to bring it into the show. But it got lively. I say that.
Yeah, I think any discussion that involves politics can easily get pretty lively. And, you know what? I've had to actually just try to take steps away from social media because of all the craziness. It starts to infiltrate my dreams and everything. It's, you know, not
it's
good
a
most
nightmare.
Of the time. Yes. And
it's a nightmare of conflicting information and hate and anger and – I'm at fault too. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. It's just it's a nightmare wasteland, and the only reason I'm on it is because sometimes I sell a book occasionally through it. That's really it. Otherwise, I would fuck right the fuck off.
I hear you. Yeah, I mean, it, yeah, pretty much I hear definitely. I mean, it's getting to the point where I pretty much share, like, you know, stuff from a year ago or 2 years ago to pretty much just keep my presence going there. But and also, we're just busy. I mean, Hellbound has gotten so busy, and it's not really – we don't really have a whole lot of time to play online. And, James, I have to tell you this funny story. You know, so the guys, we have a chat because we had one, I think, from the last time that they were on the show. And so I do the countdown. You know, we're getting close or something like that. And Mike is like, you know, do you have the number? So I put the number in. And then, you know, he's like, so are we calling in? I think Chris said, are we calling in or are we texting in? I'm like, he's been on the show before, and I'm like, is he messing with me right now? And I couldn't figure it out. It was, and you know, I bet you he was laughing just like that. And meanwhile, I'm going, is he drunk? Am I drunk? What's going on?
The answer was probably yes, but anyway. But you know what? I can't wait to hear Mike's the clit.
Yeah,
I mean,
yes.
America is waiting for the clit.
I'm going to say, let us take a quick break. Everybody hang on, and we're going to come back with the clit. How's that?
Yes, we found it.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. I'm going to call bullshit on that one.
It's in a different place in England.
No, it hasn't actually been invented in England yet. We have no need for such unpleasantries.
We should get the US and the UK to collaborate.
To be fair, I mean, you know, speaking as you know, blokes together. I mean, what is the point? Be honest.
We haven't collaborated that great in the past, I guess.
That is true.
Oh gosh. Okay, and on that note, we will
on that
be
note,
back.
On that.
It's break time.
Room Radio Show is brought to you by Hellbound Books, purveyor of all manner of dark fiction. You can find the publisher, along with links to all of their available works across platforms at hellboundbookspublishing.com. In the mood for something steamy to read, check out our erotica author Jennifer Lynn's website at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James and Xtina at their respective websites, www.jameslongmore.com for James and darkpoetprincess.com for Xtina. Don't forget to follow The Panic Room Radio on social media. Our Facebook page, Unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our Vimeo channel with all of our previous shows, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit us at our website, www.panicroomradio.com.
Welcome back to part two.
Well, welcome back, everyone. Welcome. And as you're listening to that, one of my favourite songs of all time. That I just noticed how they sort of throw a verse in French. There's a few songs over the years. I know Blondie did it with one of their songs, a big Blondie fan. Saw Debbie Harry live a few years ago, and she's I'd still do her, to be honest. But I was thinking, I mean, again, is it creativity or is it just, you know, lazy songwriting? You think, oh, well, we need a third verse, can't think of anything. You know, I'm just going to do the first verse in French. So what I'm going to do for my next novel, I'm going to get that halfway point when you think, oh, what am I going to do now? And I'm just going to rewrite the whole first half, but in French.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Brilliant, genius. And then we'll go, oh, yeah. What a great creative brain that Longmore guy's got. You know, he's done
exactly.
All that in French.
Yes.
And because
exactly.
It's America, no fucker knows French, and nobody will know. They'll still read it and think, this is great. I'm cultured because I'm reading this in French, and they'll not understand. They don't know. They don't know it's the same as the first half. So, brilliant.
Have you ever seen those jokes that they have on Facebook that'll be like, you know, these two Chinese couple are arguing, and the Chinese man says, and then it's a bunch of stuff in Chinese, and that's like, and the woman says this, and again, it's in Chinese, and you read all the way to the end, they're like, why are you even reading this? This is Chinese, you don't even understand it, you know, like, oh my God, and I, every single time, I still read it, you know, and then, you know, get mad at myself and think how stupid that is. Yeah. Okay, I get it. You know, speaking of what you just said about, you know, the creativity thing, has anyone either one of you guys read House of Leaves? Have you read this book?
No, it just looks too complicated, to be honest.
You see, that's what I was wondering. You know, I mean, there's so many, people are so polarized. Either they absolutely hated it or they think it's the best thing ever, and I don't know, I bought it, I think, you know, 2 years ago now, and I've read about 50 pages at least three times, and I don't know, I want to really badly get sucked into it, and I don't know if I think it's just amazing, or if I am like, yeah, it's kind of interesting the way they have it all crazily laid out and everything, but I don't know if I actually think it's good, so I don't know. Maybe one of these days I'll read it. But
sometimes an audiobook helps when you got a really dense book.
Mm-hmm.
Like War and Peace. My Mike actually gave me a copy, which, you know, I'd never read it. I've always wanted to, but I was always like, oh God, 1,500 pages, you know. And
right.
Instead of reading it, I did the audiobook, and I'm really glad I did. It was a fantastic work.
Now, this book, the weird thing about it is they do something really weird with the layout, and I guess they also tell a story in the footnotes, which you don't realize that at first. At first, it's just like normal footnotes, but then they start to take on a life of their own. So it's like a story within a story, and I don't know. I mean, it has the potential to be brilliant, but then it also could just be a gimmicky mess. And I don't know which one I believe it is yet. So I don't know. Well, I guess we'll see someday, maybe.
Maybe it's just an illustration of my French idea. You know, I thought, well, I've got a shit story here. I can't really think of what to do with it, so I'm going to make it all fancy and convoluted for all the hoity-toity people. Go, oh, I'm all cultured because I'm reading this. It's probably just shite, Xtina, to be honest with you.
I've tried it three times, so I guess it's very possible. But, yeah.
Well, it's like War and Peace, you know. But, oh, it's a classic. And not one car chase, seriously. You know, so don't bother.
No, and they hadn't even invented them back then, which is what's nuts about it. They really should have thrown the kitchen sink in and had a car chase.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, a book that big, you'd expect a car chase. Come on, seriously, you know. Or, you know,
Tolstoy.
A super villain. A super where's the supervillain with nuclear weapons? No, not one. Not count them, not one.
I mean, kind of Napoleon.
Yeah, but he didn't have nuclear weapons. He was just a little short-ass Frenchman. He was just pathetic.
Yeah.
Well, okay. We wanted to come back with an excerpt from Mike. The clit, yes. You know what? I can't help it. Whenever I say like a naughty word, I think my face gets red. My cheeks like start to get really warm. So
if you
I think
add,
I'm blessing.
If you add oris to the end of it, it becomes clinical. So the clitoris.
Oh, so I can say
it doesn't
that.
Doesn't
okay,
that sound so much more sanitary?
It does. Okay, there we go. The clitoris. Yeah. Okay. No, I think I'm still blushing. Okay.
You're going to have a very hard time reading this entire book then.
Well, it's not going to have to read it out loud.
Especially the vampires.
Yeah,
oh, man.
It's not going to have to read it out loud. I think I could do it. So, yeah. So go ahead, Mike. Take it away. You know, we want to hear about the clit.
The clit. Long the subject of fruitless search, a new discovery has been found nestled in the soft pink fluids. A monstrous discovery of malignant evil left emitted from the annals of time. Bobby didn't know what he would find as he explored the hidden treasure of his new girlfriend. This time, the clit found him. The clit is a far-left conspiracy created to emasculate men, PC3. This was by far the most disgusting thing ever done. Vaginas are the true evil, Clive Barker. Nope, not something I am interested in, Chris Miller. Do you dare explore this cave of mysterious delight? Can you find the clit before it finds you? It's just a little nub, gentle pressure, and prepare for an explosion of pleasure. Amenenbach, confused at the misinformation.
I love it. This is great. I definitely, Chris says, nope, not something I'm interested in.
I'm like, is mine or real?
Well, I've got my own. I've got my own to play with. So...
I'm hoping.
Take it wrong, all of you.
I didn't say anything. I was thinking it, but I didn't say it.
I knew it was coming. There's going to be messages in the server's chat afterwards about this specifically, I guarantee.
Chris said he's got a clit. Yeah, I mean, I think that should be a Facebook post. I mean, who?
Don't tag. I'm going to untag myself.
I'm pretty sure if you go through post history, you'll see a lot of proof of that already.
Oh, I think that the next time, like, all three of you get together, I want to be a fly on the wall. I just want to observe the craziness. I imagine it can get pretty crazy. Do you ever get work done when you're together?
No. God, never. Never. No, Patrick always says, what do you say we have a snort? And I'm not even getting the accent right. What y'all say we have a snort? That's more like it. And then one snort is six snorts. And then before you know it, nobody's doing anything but arguing about Trump and Biden and everything else. And then we go and watch an old silent movie together.
Well, you know, there is a whole lot to argue about when it comes to Trump and Biden.
Sure, there's plenty. But for God's sake, for once, I'd just love it if we could just eat some fucking steaks and not talk about either assholes.
Thanks. I'm not
you know, there's a lot of other topics out there that can get me just as riled up, so...
Yeah, people talking shit about Event Horizon is equally as offensive to me.
Well, you know, speaking of, you know, people talking bad about movies, one of my favorite indie authors hates with a passion the Rob Zombie remakes of Halloween, which I happen to really love. And he's been on the show before and actually says he gets sick to his stomach. He just hates them so much. And to me, them are fighting words, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I just think that as much as I enjoy his writing, he is just wrong. He is just so wrong about that. And, yeah, I know. And I think
and
I pick on him just about every
Nobody's
time.
Right about everything. Nobody's right about everything.
You know, I suppose we can just say that and agree to disagree, but he's still wrong. So,
keep that ember burning of hate. That's what's going to bring us all together.
Yeah, it will. Oh my gosh, I don't think that the world as a whole, I don't think has ever been too as polarized as it is right now, and it's it's definitely a scary thing. And so I think that, you know, what was it? The whole Bernie with his mittens, that kind of brought us together for a little while. I think we need another
Bernie with
moment.
Was great. I didn't give a shit about democratic socialism for like 2 weeks whenever I saw those memes. It was terrific.
You know what? I agree with you. I'm not going to say, but yeah, I'm not a Bernie fan. I'm really not. But at that time, I was like, you go, Bernie. Everybody's talking about you.
Yeah, he was rocking it. and his face, he's got the best grumpy face. And I don't know that he's always grumpy. I don't know that he's always grumpy, but, man, he's got the sag going on the skin, you know. He needs to see my wife. And get worked on, but anyway.
That was great.
Doesn't PC3 have a trailer also?
He might. I do not know if he gave it to me, but we'd love to hear it if he does.
I think he did.
You know, it's possible, but you know.
I don't know if it's as good as the clit. The clit's hard to beat, but you know. It's also hard to find, so he may have something more easily locatable.
Does he? I mean, it's okay if I don't have it. That's fine. You know, I'll still listen and I'll enjoy it. So, you know, if you do have it's all yours if you're ready.
Okay. Yeah.
You got your cigar in your mouth, scowl on your face. Go for it.
Shut the fuck up, Chris. God damn it. All right, mine is called the Corpse Blender, the most brutally terrifying thing that's ever been printed on paper, so shocking that you won't be able to tear your eyes from the page. Never in the history of words has there been a tale so gory, so repulsive, so irredeemably obscene that after its completion, the author chainsawed his own head off. Stephen King says, "The Corpse Blender is the most depraved pile of dog shit I've ever read. Two entrepreneurs down on their luck open a bed and breakfast for cannibals. Their guests are few and far between, and the business is on the brink of collapse until Roger devises a plan so hideous it will melt your mind. Together, Roger and Michaels build the machine that will turn their business around. The Corpse Blender." Dean Koontz says,
"Yeah,
I gave the damn thing to my golden retriever for a chew toy. No one is safe from the Corpse Blender except cannibals. The cannibal bed and breakfast is suddenly booming with business, but the town of Gwinnsboro is now missing a few residents, and as the mystery deepens, Sheriff Woodrow Cawthorn knows he better find answers quick, or he won't have a town left to defend. Richard Bachman says, "The Corpse Blender is the most depraved pile of dog shit ever written." Cawthorn employs the help of four scantily clad cheerleaders that double as amateur detectives to help him crack the case. Before long, Roger and Michaels are feeling the heat of the law, but will Cawthorn and his sleuthing band of cheerleaders be able to stop the madness, or will they end up on the breakfast plates of cannibals. J.K. Rowling says, if I took a dump on an open can of sardines, then shoved it in the mouth of a decapitated wizard child and let it all sit out in the sun for 3 days, then came back and took another dump on the wizard child's decapitated head and poured old buttermilk over it and stuck a candle in his nose and lit it and called it a birthday cake, my cake would still be less revolting than the cork blender. Your eyes will drip blood and guts. You may spew on the page. Just keep repeating, it's only fiction. It's only fiction. It's only fiction. By Patrick C. Harrison III. I see.
You know, whose idea was it to you know, make these like trailer like things? They're amazing. I love them. Whose idea was that?
I think it came down to Mike, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I don't remember, to be honest.
I don't remember either. The poems was the thing with the first book, and then we decided on trailers. I want to say it was Mike.
I do really really appreciate it, and yeah, they definitely tickle me. I had myself muted because I was laughing too hard, and I thought that it would just you know, that's all you would hear basically. So no, that was great. And speaking of poetry, Mike, you know, are you still spitting out the poetry just, you know, as often as you were before?
Probably more.
Really? So am I just missing it? Oh, my goodness. I'm going to have to go to your page and look for it. Do you have any you're always compiling. Do you have another book that's going to be coming out soon or anything?
Probably August. My daughter just finished the cover of the next one.
Wow. I don't, you know, I have been in a kind of like a writing funk for the last probably couple months, maybe. I'm hoping it's not that long. Occasionally I get into one of the poetry groups and see if there's any interesting prompts that I can work off of. But, you know, when you're busy and stuff and you're working all day in front of a computer and then you get done, you don't really want to stare at a computer anymore. And I can't write. I have tons of notebooks and I have beautiful pens, but my writing, my handwriting is shit. It really is. So anytime I go to, you know, attempt to write, I get turned off on my own handwriting. And I'm like, no, I can't do it. So, you know, nothing gets written, and it's very sad. And I don't know if I, you know, I don't know. I need some inspiration. And so to be able to sit there and write the poems that you do with such depth, and I just... I'm in awe. I am, and I think it's a wonderful thing. Especially because, you know, for me, when I'm writing a lot, it feels like almost like a brain dump. You know, I can dump it onto the paper and then be like, "Whew, that's, you know, I'm done with that now. I'm over that." And so I think that when I don't get to do that as often, I don't have that weight lifted off. So. Do you find it the? Go ahead.
I just find new books to read, honestly. Like I'll just grab something strange and read that, and then that'll inspire me.
Huh. And do you have any? What are you reading right now? Anything good? Anything strange?
I think it's Colazar. He's basically an Argentinian Kafka. He's very interesting.
Huh. Yeah, I don't think you've ever heard of this person, but you know, I bet you would get along really good with my son. He's always reading old Russian authors, and he wrote, oh my gosh, James, I have to tell you, he wrote a story for school, and he was having me take a look at it, which of course I'm basically his proofreader now, and I started reading it, and I was like, you know, it's just plagiarized? Did you steal this somewhere? I'm like, even Christian, he's like, if we put this in, you know, into some, you know, thing on the computer that tells you if it's plagiarized, is it going to come back? And he's like, no, really. It's really good, James. I was very surprised. Some of the phrasing and the wording he used, I was like, where did you get this from? So, yeah, that was really awesome. Maybe one of these days we'll
That's
be publishing
fantastic.
His short story. Yeah, I was shocked. And, of course, because he reads the Russian authors, everybody in the story has these crazy Russian names that I can't pronounce. But, you know, it makes him happy, so that's fine. To eat their
that.
Own, you know.
Russian name for our book.
Oh, so it's just a couple of days before Halloween. Does anybody have any fun Halloween plans?
We do. We are going to put the fire pit in the front yard, get it lit as fuck, and then we are going to take margaritas and get ourselves lit as fuck and hand out candy to anybody who shows up. The weather's supposed to be nice and cool. I'm probably going to put my Michael Myers jumpsuit on and my mask and, you know, try to scare as many people as I can. Unfortunately, I don't have my big kids this weekend. They're going to be at their mom, so I don't get to do all the trick-or-treating with them. But we will have our four-year-old, and we're going to dress her up all witchy and vampirish. It's going to be a fun time.
Now, you said that you're in Texas, right? You said it's going to be cool.
Oh,
what is that
betcha,
like?
You betcha, we all are.
Was that 75 for you? I mean, what's coolest for you?
Well, you know what? This morning was like 48, and
wow.
it got up to close to 80, I think. But this
yeah.
weekend we're going to have highs in the 60s, so
nice.
I'm looking forward to that. I'm all about that.
Yeah, definitely. Me too.
Hey, 48 is considered freezing in Texas. But,
yeah, James was talking about getting his cardigan out, and it's like 78.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, if it's 48, I'm going to have a couple of layers on. But I'm going to be doing the same thing as Chris. I have a little fire pit I'm going to bring out front and have a little fire going and have a beer and have a little bowl of candy. And if any kids walk up, they'll get candy or they'll get cussed out or something. I don't know.
You should get one of those starter guns. And when you don't like their outfit, you just, like, fire at the ground three times until they run away.
That's not a bad idea. But,
just don't Alec Baldwin it.
Oh, God.
Oh,
God. You know, I see.
I went there.
I know. I see the memes, and I'm just like, my jaw drops.
No, I feel terrible for the guy. I feel terrible for the guy, but the memes are majestic.
They are.
Hysterical.
I do.
God, if
that.
You got a sick sense of humor like me, you can't help but
yeah.
laugh at him.
You know, I do feel bad, but at the same time, I'm like, you know, I have my concealed carry permit, and as soon as I pick up a gun, I just automatically assume that it's loaded.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think this
yeah,
would have been a lot more.
I do, too. If somebody
yeah.
ever hands me a handgun, the first thing I
yeah.
do is...
Check
the breech, you know, make
yeah.
sure it's clear, you know,
yeah.
and, but I grew up with guns. I'm a gun guy. I own a lot of them, and I know how to handle them, and not everybody's like that. Just because you're an actor that can look cool with a gun doesn't mean you know shit
right.
about it. But,
I mean
there was a bad breakdown on that whole set. It wasn't just Baldwin.
Yeah. I mean, he was
yeah.
handed a gun by an ex. Supposed expert who told him
it was
cold.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, in hindsight, maybe he should have checked, but you don't. You know, somebody in
yeah.
that
right.
circumstance.
Yeah,
why on earth?
In hindsight.
I mean, the big question is, why the hell was live ammunition on the movie set
yeah.
anywhere near
yeah.
the movie set at all?
No,
it shouldn't have been anywhere near the place.
No business being there. I heard another actor talking about they were filming a shootout, and he was feeling some of the powder blast that you can get from a blank shot within a certain distance. And so he's out there in front doing all this, and he's feeling this, and he's frightened, but he looks over at all the camera people, and the cameras all have shields, you know, around them to make sure they're fine. And and all the actors are out there like, damn it, there's something not going on right here, you know? And it's just one red flag after the other. It's a sad, sad tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I think that, you know, even with a success of humor, I see the memes and I'm like, oh, God, I'm not touching that. I'm not
I only share them privately with, like, you know, a couple of people.
Oh, yeah, see, I do that too. Yeah, I'm like, yes.
On live radio, I do share the memes, but I don't do it publicly. All right?
You know,
call me a bad person, but at least I'm not publicly a bad person.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you. I'm the same way. Like, I have a group of friends and I'm like, oh, my God, you have to see this. But, yeah, I'm not sharing publicly either. There's just some things my jaw will drop and I'm like, holy crap, you've got to see this. And
oh God, yes.
I'm hoping he's not the Bernie Sanders to bring us all together, you know what I mean? We do need something this year, but
it's the mittens. I think it was more the mittens than Bernie, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
if Alec Baldwin would have been wearing mittens, he probably wouldn't have pulled the trigger.
Oh my gosh, this is so much fun tonight. I have to admit, I had not heard from James in hours tonight, and I was like, you know, I kept worrying that he's gonna at the last minute be like, hey, something came up, and you know, I was gonna have to be like, we're gonna cancel the show. And I'm just so glad that didn't happen, because you guys are always so much fun, and it's always we have such a great time. As a matter of fact, like, my cheeks hurt from, like, smiling and laughing so much. So I don't know if that just means I don't smile and laugh enough in real life that, you know, when I do it so much,
as soon as I get off of this show, every time I go and coat my face in lidocaine, you know, just so that I can get things back to normal.
Right, right. We're glad that we can do that for you. So. And speaking of Halloween, though, I'm so super excited. I have 5 big bags of good candy, because last year we ran out way too early. Even though it was rainy and it was cold and I was like, nobody's going to come, and then we still ran out. So I made sure I was prepared this year. And me and the boyfriend, we went to Spirit Halloween, and we're both going to be hippies for Halloween. And we had the cool little colored glasses, and hippies are cool. Who doesn't love a hippie, right? You know, hippies are great.
Lots of people. No, Patrick hates hippies with a passion.
I was actually a hippie 1 year for Halloween, thank you.
I know, hippies, because you hate them. You were mocking them.
What about you, James? What are you going to do for Halloween? You're giving out candy, or you're taking Indian trick-or-treating? What's going on?
No, she's a little bit old for trick-or-treating. She's trying to organize some things with her friends. And either that, or we're going to go to a haunted house. I haven't decided yet.
Oh, I would love to do something like
that.
Because
there's a couple of open back up around here. And we were going to go, obviously not last year, because the world was shut last year, but the year before.
Mm-hmm.
But she was just a little bit young. I did a bit of research, and I think, but now she'd probably frighten them, to be honest. So
we'll see
what she wants. You know, kids of that age, she may have organized something with her friends I know nothing about. Because the thing is, I'm the last to know, and yeah, I'm the one who's taxi driver, you know. So
always, yes. They you know, the kids, they pretty much just think we're here to take them places. That's all.
Well,
we
you
are,
know, she
you know?
she just seems to think I have no social life and no friends, which, to be fair, is true. But you know, it's not the point. It's not the point.
It's not. It's not the point. No. And you know, you bite your tongue. You said she's too old for trick-or-treating. She is not. She is not. I went trick. The last time I went trick or treating, I was 17 years old.
Oh God! So it
was, are you laughing at me?
No,
the
she,
last
okay.
time I went trick or treating, I was
sad.
37 years old.
Wow.
Okay, I was in the full Michael get up with a plastic knife, and I took my son all up and down our neighborhood. And he got all the candy until he went to bed.
Yeah.
And then he woke
that's
up surprisingly underfunded from his Halloween extravaganza.
Yeah.
Did he know there was stuff missing? Because sometimes when they're young enough, you know, you can get away with it.
Oh, no, he knew. He knew. He looked me right in the eye. He's like, you ate my candy. I said, you're goddamn right.
It's called candy tax. It's tax. Yes, I mean,
yeah.
I think that
yeah,
if we have
yeah.
to take them,
understand,
we get them.
Son, understand, son. Tax is theft. I am stealing your shit because you live in my house.
I mean, you know, if it's okay for the government to do, it should be okay for parents, right?
Of course, exactly. Yeah, yeah. You're living inside our imaginary borders. You have to pay us this shit. Yeah, you're in my house.
I love it. I do. I'm. So, what is everybody's favorite candy?
Probably ice cream, Snickers.
You can't give that out at Halloween, though. Well, you can, but it'll
melt.
Well,
you didn't ask what my favorite Halloween candy was. You said, what was my favorite candy? And,
okay,
and that's it.
Okay, what's your favorite Halloween candy? There we go.
Regular Snickers.
Anything chocolate, yes, definitely. Definitely. I like chocolate, so... And we know James likes chocolate. He'll tell
chocolate.
You all about chocolate. So,
well,
yeah,
I'm a chocolate purist. You know, they thought, oh, let's put some nuts in chocolate and put raisins in. Don't put fuck all in chocolate. Chocolate, just, I will just eat a block of chocolate, you know. But then they just put all these things in it and, no.
Now, are you talking like Hershey's? Hershey's or like better chocolate?
No,
okay,
I'm talking about chocolate.
Yeah.
Hershey's is actually just, it's just dog shy.
Yeah,
it's
I don't care for Hershey's
chocolate.
Either. So.
Hershey's
yeah,
is nasty.
No, I agree. So, you know, they have to disguise theirs with, like, nuts and stuff because it's not that good. That's my, you know, opinion there. That's why they stick that junk in there. But, you know, and I have to, when we do the trick-or-treat, when we hand out the candy, I eat the dots, you know, the little hard as hell little dots. I like the dots. Anybody know what I'm talking about here?
No.
Are we
no
talking
idea.
About malt balls?
No.
Dots, I think of the ice cream.
Oh, dipping dots.
Well, those are good,
dipping
too.
Dots.
No,
that's
they're,
what I'm thinking of.
No. You know what? I'm going to have to find a picture and send it in the group chat now. No, it's just this little gummy, hard gummy-like thing, and they taste like fruit flavors or something, but they're called dots.
Hard gummy.
They're in the big container of candy with, like, the Tootsie Rolls and stuff, but they're called dots, and they're really good, and I steal the dots out of, you know, the candy, so that's why I'll be at the dots. Yes, there you go. You know what I'm talking about. You got
it. I know what you're talking about now. It just dawned on me.
Yeah,
okay,
they're good.
No, I hate
like
those.
Them.
There's no chocolate.
There is no chocolate. And they stick to your teeth. Like, they stick so bad to your teeth, you think if you close your mouth and you open it back up, your teeth are going to be in it still and not connected to your gums
anymore.
I've
got enough problems. I don't need that one.
Oh, I don't either, but, you know, who said I was really bright, you know? But, no, I just love the whole thing. And after we do the trick or the giving out the candy, I'm hoping that people watch scary movies with me, and then I'll be just as happy. You know, and then I'll be just as excited to put up my Christmas tree, although the boyfriend says I have to wait until after Thanksgiving. But these are the post-COVID days, and I think that there should be no rules, right? I mean, I think I should be able to, you know, trick-or-treat with my Thanksgiving turkey while I put up my tree. I mean, why can't we do that?
Amen to that.
I think that's a great plan. I do.
I mean, you got to wait till after Thanksgiving.
You know, that's what I keep being told, and, you know, whatever you fuddy that
you
is.
You don't have to wait for shit if it's your house.
Thank you.
You do what you want. You put that goddamn tree up, and you have your cousin Eddie show up and fill the sewers. You do it.
And
you do it in November. I want it in November.
On that note, I think we're going to have to say goodnight. But
yes, Merry Christmas.
Before
Merry
we let you
Christmas.
Go, though.
Merry Christmas, one and all.
Tell us real quick where we can find you online.
Who first? I'll go first. All right, you can find myself at pc3horror.com. You can go to deathsaidpress.com, find all the books I publish. You can find me on Amazon, Facebook, Instagram. That's it. Patrick C. Harrison III, pc3horror.com.
Awesome. Mike, you can go next.
MNN.com.
Is Mike alive?
Is that it?
Because
I know he's also on Amazon.
Right, he is. He is. And Chris?
Yeah, you can find me at authorchrismiller.com on Amazon. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Chris Miller Author. If you want to find me on Twitter, it's CM Wordslinger. You know, I'm all over the place there, and as long as you're not a total freak on Facebook, I will probably accept your request. I make no guarantee.
Awesome, you guys. We had such a great time, and everybody that's listening, keep your eyes out for Cerberus exploitation, and we definitely need to do this again soon. So thank you so much. We had such a great time.
Always a blast, guys. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys. We'll speak to you again soon.
That was so much fun.
It was a great bunch of guys. Absolutely mad as a box of frogs, but great, great fun. So, and unfortunately, speaking of boxes of frogs, for some odd reason, it is time to say goodnight, Xtina.
Goodnight, Xtina.
Good night.